Do you know what, Jen? I don't think I've ever looked better in my life. I think I'm at the peak of my physical prowess.
I think you are.
At the moment. And yeah. I would love to share that with people. I'd love people to be able to see me in the flesh.
It's selfish to keep this.
It is. This amount of radiance needs to be shared. So I thought what I would do is invite people along to see me in real life.
To be in the same room at the Museum of Comedy.
At the Museum of Comedy, because comedy is what I do most of the time.
And you belong in a museum.
No.
It was, how rude.
My self-esteem had climbed and now it's back down on the floor. But no, I love the Museum of Comedy and I'm going to go there and I'm going to take my raw magnetism with me on Wednesday the 24th of April.
Can I come too?
You can. Just try not to sort of detract from my glow, you know.
Okay.
We are going to have the magnificent Jenny Ryan, a magnificent guest.
Ooh.
TBA. Wednesday the 24th of April. Put it in your diaries. Bring your sunglasses because I am shining.
Yeah, get your tickets now. The link is in our social media or from the Museum of Comedy website.
Oh, please do come. Jen's all right as well.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What's your name?
Jenny Ryan.
Correct. What's my name?
Lucy Porter.
Correct. What are we doing?
We're making a podcast all about quizzing.
Correct. What's it called?
Fingers on Buzzers.
Correct. Hello and welcome to another episode of
Fingers on
Buzzers. No, not yet. We haven't quite got there. Now, today we have a broadcasting legend with us, Jen. We have the voice of sport on ITV for many, many years and one of the hosts of the legendary Busman's Holiday. It yes. is Mr. Elton Wellesby.
Never thought I'd hear those words. Elton Wellesby's on my show.
I know. My dad, I honestly wouldn't believe it. It's a shame he's not here to see it or hear it. But anyway, that's Elton Wellesby. I will be stepping back in time to the 1980s.
Yes.
And in fact, Busman's Holiday, of which we will be speaking to Elton Wellesby, I'm going to ask you some of the questions that were given to the 4th Road Bridge maintenance crew.
Wow.
Yeah.
They were playing to go and paint the Golden Gate Bridge, were they?
They were. They never won. So we don't know what they would have done.
Ooh.
But yeah, that would have been their prize on Busman's Holiday. We also have part two of our favourite thing, which was Steve Diaper's lyrics quiz.
Yes.
We enjoyed the first part of that so much, and we're revisiting that today on Fingers on Buzzers. So looking back at the history of quiz, Jen, we've reached the 1980s.
This is within my living memory now.
Well, this is it. The young Jenny Ryan was starting her quizzing journey, very, very much at the start of it, being
yes.
a wee babe in arms.
But I was subjected to a lot of quiz shows.
Yeah, you probably watched some of them without even realising. I mean, to me, because I was a kid in the 80s, so there's a lot of stuff I remember. To be honest, I remember all the puzzle games, things like the Adventure Game,
mm-hmm.
which was an extraordinary quiz sort of set in space. It was, I think, one of the best programmes of all time, quite frankly. Countdown had started on Channel 4, which I enjoyed, even though I couldn't really do much with it. 3-2-1. Not a quiz, but
just
I think
a bafflement.
Yes, I think it gave me that love of just being slightly baffled. Amanda's doing the hand signal there. 3-2-1. Rude. There you go.
It's very chancy, isn't it, that hand signal?
We all love to just flip the V's under the cover of doing the 3-2-1. Punchlines with Lenny Bennett. That was another non-quiz show that I loved, which was, oh,
not
God,
familiar.
Man. It was, they'd give you punchlines to jokes and you'd have to fill it in. It was a bit like Celebrity Squares.
That's very formative for you.
It was. It's made me the woman I am today, very much. So there was lots of exciting things going on. I mean, as a kid, there were things like Run Around.
Yes.
Which, with Mike Read, and then Pop Around, the pop version with Gary Crowley, that definitely...
Health and safety nightmare.
Absolutely.
Hundreds of kids
just running around, trampling each other in studio. There was Finders Keepers with Richard Stilgo, which we may, if we do, we may come back to kids quizzing at some point.
I think we'll definitely need a revisit.
But on the quiz show front... I was going to concentrate. Now, there were loads of great things going on. Bullseye.
Well, it goes without saying.
I mean, we have talked about Bullseye quite a lot. We probably will talk about it again. It was amazing for so many reasons. It combined darts and quizzing. It brought us Jim Bowen and his contestant chats, which were legendary. And it also did broaden the kind of class.
Yeah, it's very much it brought down some barriers to the quiz.
Yes, rather class-wise, than it's ask not... the family with its sort of hoity-toity middle class.
Yeah, everybody on that owned at least two bow ties.
Yeah.
But definitely not Bullseye.
No, well, I mean, there were bow ties on Bullseye, but it was, you know.
Yeah, but that was their one good bow tie.
Bow tie for best.
Yeah.
There was a lovely, I read a quote in Alan Connor's book, who we will be talking to, Alan Connor's book about quizzing. It talks about this, about the fact that on Ask the Family, someone's observed at the time, oh, there was a Scottish family on Ask the Family last week, but they still had a daughter called Camilla. Which was like, even though they'd strayed outside of the Surrey, Sussex. But yeah, so Bullseye... sort of broadened the kind of
appeal,
the class, yeah, as you say, brought down class barriers anyway. But we will talk about Bullseye more at some point. But today I wanted to concentrate on a quiz from the 1980s that I loved, and it's such a great premise. It is the quiz Busman's Holiday.
I do remember Busman's Holiday.
Yeah, well, yeah. It did actually, it stretched into the 90s. But it started in the 1980s, and it was originally presented by Julian Pettifer, I believe, and then Sarah Kennedy took it over. And for those of you who don't remember it, maybe, Busman's Holiday was, you'd get three teams who, each team were linked by the fact that they were all in the same profession. Mm-hmm. In fact, they were generally workmates. Yeah. And they were competing to win a Busman's Holiday.
Literally.
That being, I'd never heard the phrase busman's holiday, and my mum had to explain it to me that it's basically if you're a busman and you go on a coach trip, then
it's not much of a holiday, really.
What I look back on now and I think was incredible about this was that every single week they flew three workmates to the other side of the world to have a busman's holiday, to go and do their job or see other people who did their job in other parts of the world. And they took a film crew over with them and they filmed it. And it must have been so expensive. Hmm. I just kind of think, although the prize itself wasn't that glittering, it just seems like such a lot of faff and expense to go to. For the VT that you would get, which would be basically three people looking baffled as they watched someone else doing a similar job in a different country. And you thought, actually, I would much rather just have seen a film of them going and having a lovely time on a beach rather than... It's like they're from a factory in Hunstanton and they go to a factory in, like, Miami... And it's like, well, we're just seeing a factory, though. It's not late, though. There is an episode on YouTube, which I've taken some questions from, which I've watched. And it's in the one that I saw. The opening VT was the week before's winners were some policemen from Walsall. And they had been given a trip to Miami. And it's quite sweet because they're walking around in British policemen's clothes with the great big booby-shaped hats.
They'd have to use their baggage allowance on
that. Yeah, exactly, for their big hats. There was no room for swimming trunks. There's no, and they just go around with the Miami police. They get to go on a boat. That's the glamour of it. But, I mean, luckily they didn't get shot.
Yeah, I would be deeply concerned about the violence level.
Yeah. Well, it was sort of the firearms of Miami
training
Vice.
Would be part of the trip.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, you didn't see them in a shootout or anything.
No,
but it's very sweet. And then the three contestants on. I'm going to give Jenny, as I always do, I'm going to give Jenny some vintage questions from Busman's Holiday. This is what they were asking in the 1980s, but in a way. It doesn't really matter what era because they're very specific questions. So the format of Busman's Holiday was that you would get... So you go on with your workmates and there's two other teams and you get questions on your own occupation and on the occupation of the other people on the show.
Yeah.
And then in the end, you get questions on a destination that you have researched. So you've been told ahead of time, which is so unusual.
Yeah,
so you never,
I
mean, this is something I feel we could revive in modern quizzing. The idea that actually, no, they have swatted up before and we're going to see how much they know. So that's sort of quite an interesting format point. So this episode, we had fourth road bridge workers. Mm-hmm. We had tote girls. And we had racing car test drivers.
Wow. They've already got a glamorous job.
I know, right?
Tell them to nick off.
Whereas the tote girls, you know, they could do with a trip to another race course somewhere.
They've inhaled enough secondhand smoke.
Yeah.
Behind that desk.
They should be off at the Kentucky Derby or something. Yeah. Anyway, we'll see what happens.
Drinking a mint julep.
I'll let you know. So I'm going to give you the questions that were given on their own occupations.
Okay.
So the fourth road bridge workers were asked, the crane which erected the top members of the cantilever arms on the bridge was designed in 1887 and given a topical name. What was it?
1887.
Yeah, so it's the crane which erected the top members. I have faithfully
reproduced
this question.
1880, what was going on back then?
Now, I think the answer that was given, and I can tell you this, which was the wrong answer, he said the steam donkey.
Oh.
Which I don't know why that would have been topical. But anyway, it was wrong. I think he said an answer, which was good enough. But that is not the answer I'm looking for.
I don't know.
It was the Jubilee Crane. Because 1887 was the Jubilee of Queen Victoria.
It was. Maybe that's what they call it, though, the steam donkey.
Yeah, well, I know. I mean, they didn't contest it, so it's over now. We can't solve that grievance. I'll give you one more, actually, from the fourth row.
Decades
workers,
later.
I think you'll get this one.
Okay.
How many steel spans are there in the approach viaduct on the Queen's Ferry side, and how wide in feet is each span?
Okay, so there's... Let me work this out. So it's... not got a clue.
No, I do not
have a single clue.
There are 10 steel spans and each is 168 feet wide. But I mean, that may all be different now. They probably, because they've changed all of that. The Queen's very... Anyway, I don't know. Blah. So that was the fourth row bridge workers.
Rich knowledge.
The tote girls.
Tote girls.
If only one horse is placed in a three-place betting race, what percentage of the gross pool is allocated to it?
Percentage?
Mm-hmm. This might require some tote girl inside knowledge.
18%. I don't know.
No, 76%. The tote takes 24%. So the prize money allocated to the thing is the remaining 76%.
Yeah,
okay. Now, this one you might get. This is for the racing car test drivers.
I love your optimism.
I think you will. You'll get this one. The last 50...
Vroom, vroom.
The last 50 E-Type Jaguars produced in 1975 were all painted the same colour. Oh, you looked hopeful and then you went... Anyway, they were all painted the same colour. What colour was it? I mean,
you could have told you what year they stopped being produced.
Oh, should we go back in time?
No. And they were all silver. Black.
Yes!
Why would they be black? That's miserable.
I know.
Silver.
Well, the guy on the Busman's Holiday said white and he got it wrong as well.
Oh,
so, anyway.
Well,
they were all
too
black.
Stupid then.
So those were the questions on the
home, like home and away, kind
like
of
home
ones
and away. So
there.
Those were the home questions. But now I'm going to skip right to the end. So the final round was about a destination, and it wasn't necessarily the destination that they were going to end up going to. Mm. It was just a destination, and in this case, it was Paris.
And France.
Well done! You're through to the
Texas.
Holidays.
It could be Paris,
no,
Texas.
It was Paris, France. You're right. Yeah. Paris, France. I'll give you the questions that they asked. So, which public holiday is celebrated every year on the 8th of May in Paris?
8th of May. Jean de Florette Day.
Oh. Is that the movie, Jean de Florette? Yeah. Okay, yeah, very good, very good.
Book,
it's VE Day.
Oh, yeah, no. It's a holiday. That's nice.
Because the team guessed Bastille Day, which, you know.
No,
you
I knew it wasn't Bastille Day.
But you'd give it a guess. I mean, it's a good guess,
well,
isn't it?
You go,
well, it's a day.
Yeah.
What is Bastille Day?
It's July, isn't it? Is it the 15th of July?
Yeah,
what,
I see.
The
that's
14th.
14th.
14th, did you see?
Well, I'm still drunk on the 15th from the 14th, so that's why.
Here's another one. What are the 20 divisions or districts of Paris called in French?
Arrondissement.
Very good. Very good.
Never been.
You're nearly on your way. In which year was the Eiffel Tower opened?
1875.
Ooh, a little bit early. 1889. So, from all
I'm
of that...
I'm not going to Paris.
You are not going to quiz in an exotic location.
I'm going to go to Paris.
Shall I tell you who won? So who do you think won out of the four Thread Bridge workers, the Tote Girls and the racing car test drivers?
I hope it was the Tote Girls, but I think it's probably the fourth Road Bridge.
It was neither of the above. It was the people who deserved it least.
Ah, boo. You've got an exciting job.
Yeah, the racing car test drivers. And I'll tell you what, here's a little thing. Guess where they sent them?
Silverstone.
Yeah, no. It's not. It's in Europe.
Oh, the Nürburgring.
No, well, they sent them to Stuttgart.
Oh, right, to a car plant or something.
To
the Ferrari, not Ferrari.
The HQ of Mercedes.
HQ Mercedes.
Mercedes, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that was their thing. So, you did pretty well. You know,
I did all right. I mean, I don't have any of those professions. In the 1980s, so...
No, so it was always going to be tricky for
was
you.
That, was that a Sarah Kennedy edition that you watched? Or was that
no,
an Elton?
That was actually a Julian Pettifer.
Oh, that was a proper, yeah.
An
proper 80s.
One. But, yeah, so we will be talking to the final host of Busman's Holiday, to Elton Wellesby, very shortly.
Yeah.
And getting his reminiscences. Right, what's it time for, Jem?
It's time for the listener quiz, ASMR edition.
Oh, no, that's turning Amanda's attention like that. Okay, if I did the listener quiz.
That's better.
Singing's better than that. So the listener quiz today, we're revisiting the lyrics quiz.
He sent us in so many questions, we had to divide them up.
I know, he's a very good
ration
man.
Ration them out because we enjoyed them.
Steve Diaper.
Yeah, go on, Steve.
Doing sterling work. So Amanda, part two.
Let's get straight into it, shall we? Mm. So in the song When I'm 64 by the Beatles, three imaginary future grandchildren are mentioned. Can you name them?
Jim?
No.
There's Dave.
That's
one of
them.
Them's Dave. Someone, and Dave. Rosie, Jeff, and Dave.
I can't remember that bit of the song.
Da,
at all.
Da, 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 da.
Shall I just?
Yeah, just
Vera, Chuck, and Dave.
Yeah, I get a third of a point for remembering.
Yeah. God, isn't that terrible? I've blanked out the whole lyrics of When I'm.
You like that film, that new Richard Curtis film? Where
this band you speak of, I don't know.
Oh, that's the reverse of the film, isn't it? So, like, one person doesn't remember the Beatles. Which Japanese film director do the bare naked ladies compare themselves to in their song 1 Week?
Buzz Kurosawa.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't really think of anyone else who would have been relevant.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the lyric, but there's so many lyrics in that song.
Mm. It's one of the really
ridiculous.
Quick,
yeah. I can probably do the first.
So I really enjoyed part one of this quiz. I'm struggling a bit with part two, I'll be honest.
Can you name the American and Confederate soldier referred to in the song Virginia Plain by Roxy Music?
No.
Give us a minute. No, give us a minute.
Robert E. Lee.
Yes!
Sorry, I was trying to work my way through the
bloody song. Jen was trying to do the song. I was just going to name a Confederate soldier and hope for the best.
I reckon you'll both.
Okay, right. Getting ready to buzz.
Yeah, get ready.
Sorry, I didn't buzz for the last one. So.
It's all right.
There are three US Billboard chart toppers that refer to the legendary baseball player Joe DiMaggio. Can you name all three?
Buzz.
Jenny?
Mrs. Robinson by Simon and Garfunkel. Mrs. Robinson by
The
Lemonheads.
It's Simon and Garfunkel, though, isn't it?
We Didn't the, Start the Fire.
Yes.
What am I thinking of then? I'm sure I was a. Is it not a Simon and Garfunkel?
It is, but it's just the wrong song.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so.
So there is a Simon and Garfunkel song that isn't Mrs. Robinson that refers to Joe DiMaggio.
Yes.
Right. Oh, that's confused me.
Oh, yeah. God, what is it? Oh, man.
Because it's definitely in Mrs. Robinson.
What about the other one? So you've got Billy Joel, Didn't Start the Fire, and there's another one that's I think, quite...
It's The End of the World as We Know It.
No.
No, but that's another very wordy one. Yeah, lots of people.
Joe DiMaggio. Go and give us a clue.
I'm doing a visual.
Vogue.
Yes.
Vogue. Okay. Dietrich and DiMaggio. Is that the bit?
That's the bit, yeah.
She sang it just like that.
Yeah. I don't know why I did it.
And
God, naming all the people who are named in Vogue is quite good.
Right. Now I've read the
Oh, right.
This I'm afraid Steve is incorrect.
Oh.
Because I'm reading the lyric of the Simon and Garfunkel.
Where
and
have you gone, Joe DiMaggio?
It's definitely Mrs. Robinson.
It's Lonely Eyes to You. Woo hoo hoo.
Yeah.
So,
what did he think it was?
The Boxer.
No, so, yeah, in The Boxer.
He's thinking of Sporting. What he's done.
La 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 la.
Joe DiMaggio, Joe DiMaggio, Joe DiMaggio.
That's it.
So I could have just saved a whole world of pain if I'd have just checked out the lyric right beside it, but we got there in the end.
Yay.
So
I think that's Jenny's question there, isn't it? Let's be honest.
It was a wonderful mime, by the way.
Oh, yes, yeah. I was itching to do it. I was so pleased when you asked me for a clue. last one now.
Oh, God.
So, which two American astronauts are name-checked in the song We Didn't Start the Fire by Billy Joel?
Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin.
No. There's a clue here. Clue. They were the first American man and woman in space.
John Glenn. No.
Yes.
Who's... Helen, Sally Ride?
Yes.
Sally Ride, yeah.
Oh, how lovely you shared that.
Oh, that's not...
Do you know the lyric? I mean, it's...
John Glenn, Sally Ride, something, suicide.
Heavy metal suicide, yeah.
Yay!
Thank you very much, Steve Diaper.
Thank you, Steve.
For part two. Well,
good fun.
And anyone, as we say, any more lyrics quizzes always gratefully received. Thank you very much for your listener quiz.
Listener quiz.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
On the line with us now, we are delighted to have broadcasting legend... come on. You so are. The one and only Mr. Elton Welsby.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, we're great. Thank you so much for talking to us.
That's the best build-up I've ever had.
Well, you are, you know, very much the voice of sport from my formative years.
Yes.
Remember your Olympics? Was it the Seoul Olympics? I'm remembering
yes,
the 80. Yeah. What year was
89.
That?
88.
Yes.
I anchored the Through the Night show, which was totally undisciplined but brilliant at the same time.
It's a bit like us then.
Yes. Yes, very true.
I'm the right guy for your show, I think.
You so are. Well, we were just reminiscing, actually, about Busman's Holiday.
Oh, yes.
Which you presented Busman's Holiday in the 90s as well, didn't you?
Yeah, I think it was 95. Mid-90s. I'm not sure exactly what the date was.
But yeah.
It was it was quite an experience for someone who was sort of brought up and, you know, pretty good, I'd like to think, of presenting live football, then to be thrown into that kind of environment.
Yes.
I mean, complete opposite of your comfort zone.
Yeah, because you could be asking questions about literally anything, depending on the professions of the contestants, really, couldn't you?
That's right. Well, we did 13 programmes in a week. We did three in the day.
Ugh.
And I have to say my brain was scrambled at the end of it. It was scrambled before we started, but at the end of it, I didn't know whether I was coming or going.
We were watching one of the earlier episodes, which was there was some Forth Road bridge workers, some tote girls, and some
race car testers.
So, it could be absolutely anyone.
Diverse,
yeah.
Well, we had, for example, one of the program, I think it might have been the first one that went out, was pub landladies against RAF fighter pilots.
I don't know who would win in that fight.
You cannot get more diverse than that.
No, gosh.
And you'd have put your money on the RAF fighter pilots winning, but they didn't.
Hey!
The pub landladies did.
Never underestimate them.
They're never underestimate anyone who can pull a pint. And their busman's holiday was to work, pulling pints, serving in the smallest pub in Australia. I mean, think Alice Springs, and it's kind of fairly near there.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's where they went on their busman's holiday.
What
so
a trip.
It was, yeah, oof, not off. That's why we never had another series. I think Granada realised that this is a bit too expensive.
Yes, well, because we like watching it. You get the week before's winners, so they've obviously sent them off with a film crew somewhere. Well, I mean, it must have cost an absolute fortune.
I wouldn't like to have cost it. I really,
yes.
I wouldn't even hazard a guess as to how much each programme cost. I wouldn't know.
It was an interesting format, though, because it was, if you think about it, you know, in the 80s and 90s, it was the only place on TV that you really would get such sort of specialist insights into people's jobs.
It was totally different, as I recall it, because quiz shows, game shows, should I say, were the thing, weren't they?
Yeah.
With the likes of Brucey and what have you.
Yeah.
But this was a genuine intellectual quiz.
Mm.
That's probably why. The more I talk about it, the more I wonder why on earth I got so invented. Because I'm not intellectual and I'm not a quizzer.
It was just
fun. It was great fun.
Well, you were great. But then we did also watch something else that was you very much in your comfort zone, which was hosting Go for Goal.
Oh, I love that.
Yes.
That wasn't work. That was just superb stuff.
Oh, and it looks great. I mean, it's such a fun, it's a really fun one to watch. The one that I have been absorbing was the final between Preston North End and Chester.
Chester, yeah. Yeah.
So tell us about, so Go for Goal, you'd started off with, how many teams was it? 16?
Well, there would be 16, yes, representing all the clubs in the Northwest. It wasn't a nationwide show, so some people listening to this now might think, well, I never knew that was, when was that? And all that sort of stuff. It was just purely in the Granada region, and every club in the from Manchester United down to Rochdale were represented.
Yeah.
And, you know, so the likes of Man United, for example, who you'd automatically expect to sort of, Man United, Liverpool, Man City, you'd have thought, oh, well, they're going to win. Nothing to do with that. It was to do with, you know, the team from Chester, who were really quite bright. You know, their brains were not on their feet. You know,
yes. I know, well, actually,
they were between the ears, yeah.
You'd have to say, watching Chester versus Preston North End quizzing, it was much more entertaining than watching them play football against each other.
Well, I couldn't agree more.
Because it's a great format as well. So, basically, at the end of each round, you would go for goal, wouldn't you? So you'd answer your questions, yeah. and depending on how many questions you'd got right during the round, that determined your shot on goal at the end. If you'd got one right, then it was a long shot.
I'll tell you what, if they ever rerun it, you should present it. I've forgotten the rules.
Well, it's sort of it's actually quite sort of simple but effective, isn't it?
It was very, very simple, but it was very effective. Yes. I seem to remember that the set was very good. When you tune in, when you tuned into that show at home, you'd think, oh, this looks a happy place to be.
Yes, yes.
And it was. It looked, and that really came through in all the programmes. It was very happy.
It looked classy. It definitely looked classy.
Yes,
The title sequence, because although, you know, you sort of think, well, it's about football, it's maybe more of a masculine thing, the title sequence was very much one for the ladies, because it's a hunky footballer who gets dressed. So you get a lot of torso and leg. And a very jaunty theme tune, and there's a referee blowing his whistle, and it's all it does feel like a sort of very exciting start to a quiz.
It was excellent.
It looks great. Your hair is wonderful. Your hair looks great on it, Elton, if I might say so.
Excuse me, we're getting a bit personal now. You want to see it now. You could count them.
Well, it was a sort of bouffant mullet, and on the final, you were wearing something you could only get away with in the 90s. It was a kind of grey shirt with a yellow, vibrant yellow.
It was a kind of mustard jacket,
yes,
wasn't it? That was a Hugo Boss jacket. And before you think, oh, flash kid, far from it. I was taken by the producer, Kieran Roberts, who now, or until recently, is in charge of Coronation Street.
That's right. Kieran, I remember Kieran, yeah.
And he took me to a boutique. Do you still call them boutique?
Well, yeah, we do.
They did in the 90s. He took me to a boutique in Manchester, and they selected. There was one blue one and one mustard one. So he said, well, we'll have the two of those and we'll alternate them.
Nice.
I thought, well, that sounds pretty good.
But you do.
The other thing is, it's wonderful jackets, very, very smart. I think you'd agree. They were very smart.
You look great.
Forget the guy who's wearing them. I'm just saying the jackets were terrific.
You look great. Also, the other thing that's striking.
At the end of the series, I thought, I'm having these.
Yeah.
You know, the wardrobe wouldn't let me. Oh, no.
Oh, no,
they're not yours.
Mean.
Oh. I know.
Furious on your belt. The other thing.
No wonder Granada wouldn't pay for any more busman's holidays.
No.
If they've got an attitude like that.
Tight.
Good heavens.
Granada. Well, no wonder they don't really exist anymore, do they? That's it.
Yeah.
That serves them right. But the. The trophy at the end of the series was unbelievably lavish as well. You can barely carry it. So Reg Holdsworth, Ken Morley, comes on at the end to present it.
Reg came on, yeah.
And he's struggling with that.
It's all my 90s Granada dreams come true.
Oh,
this show.
It's great.
It was a big apparently the trophy cost more than my jacket.
Yeah. Wow. And you didn't get to keep either of them. That's really annoying.
Didn't get to keep either of them.
Oh.
I don't know where, I'd love to know where the trophy went, actually, because obviously it went back to I know it was in Chester's boardroom for a while.
It might still
be there.
It might, in their not overstuffed trophy cabinet, so they're, you know, it's probably still got pride of place, hasn't it?
What have you got against Chester?
I've got nothing against Chester. Well, also,
very belligerent.
The Chester team were brilliant, and also on the Chester team, they had the club physio, they had a player, and they had a guest supporter, which was the one and only Mick Miller.
Amazing.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, and also, I think in the final, as a guest supporter, because we had a problem, they never thought they'd get to the final, and they did, and someone couldn't make it, and hanging around the same the same time was the ex-Chester manager, a lovely chap called Harry McNally. So he went into their team. Which, now, that kind of was a bit unfair.
Yes.
Because, you know, they ran away with it, really.
Yeah, well, they did. I didn't know they'd brought in a ringer.
But now, it's a pity half the people listening to you here, they'll have no idea about this programme.
Well, but do you know that because all our listeners are quiz fans and love to hear about a quiz they might not have seen, and yeah. It is available on YouTube. This is the
I was just
wonderful
about to
thing.
Say, if anyone is wondering, you know, what did it look like, what was the tone of it, then you can see it on YouTube, yeah.
I think they're just going to watch it for your jacket, Elton, yep. To be honest.
It's That's worth it for the jacket
main
alone.
At least they know I haven't got them anymore.
Well, shall I now? I'm going to test you both, you, Jenny and Elton. Right.
Not fair.
For you, it's
Not
a memory
fair.
Test. For Jenny, it's pure quizzing. Now, let
I know,
me
I saw, see. I saw The Chase last night, believe it or not.
So you know what you're up against. Oh. Yeah, she's
I know.
Yeah,
powerful.
But do I know?
And that was a pure coincidence that you were the chaser on that. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I didn't expect it. Could have been anybody, but
it
anyway.
It was meant to be. Okay, so I'm going to give you a question.
These are from 1993.
Yep. So I'll give Jenny, you can have the Chester question. Okay. Since you're in love with them, it seems.
Since you hate them so much.
I really don't. So Jenny, when Chester joined the Football League in 1931, which Lancashire team did they replace?
Accrington.
Oh, sadly not. It was.
No, it wasn't Accrington.
Do you remember? Or do you know?
No.
It was Nelson.
Yeah. I didn't even know the other.
Oh, Nelson. Wow. Right, okay. Yeah, well.
Blackburn.
All right, Elton, this is your question. From which club did Preston sign Archie Gemmell?
Preston? By Archie Gemmell?
Apparently, from which club did... I'm only repeating a question that was on your quiz.
You said it first, Elton.
Well, I must have been...
This is your doing.
That one slipped through. I don't remember Archie Gemmell, but I remember Archie playing for Nottingham Forest, Derby County.
He went on to afterwards.
Now.
But where had he been before... between Derby and Preston. Before Preston, he was at... Scottish club, June '67.
Not very good up there.
No, it's St Mirren. St Mirren is
oh,
the
was
answer.
It? Oh no,
that's a good question, but it's brutal.
It is brutal. Well, no, that's nice because it means that you've both losers.
Yeah,
so
no,
that's
nice. Nil-nil.
Nil-nil. Do you want me to do you a? I'll do you a true or false question.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, this is the official lowest attendance for an FA Cup tie is 7. True or false?
Sorry.
No,
you're making me look a right idiot.
It is false.
Right, yeah, it's true or false. I'd say, an FA Cup. Now, see, the FA Cup starts in the parks and, you know, very, very widespread before it gets down to the elite. Mm. I'm going to say that's possibly true.
Oh, Elton. Well,
it's going to be lower, surely.
Jenny said false. With the true story.
Like 4.
It's none because there was an FA Cup tie played during World War One where they closed it to spectators because they didn't want to distract people.
Listen, you're hearing this first. This is an exclusive for your podcast. I'm telling you now, I am, from this moment, resigned from doing any quizzes.
Oh, no.
No more busman's holiday for me. No more go for gold.
No. We're going to bring back go for gold. Yes. We're going to make you learn it all again, Elton. That's what we're going to do. Oh, it's been such an absolute pleasure talking to you.
Fantastic.
And
oh,
thank you, for
been a pleasure.
All
nice
your
pleasure.
Knowledge over the years.
Oh, that's very kind of you.
Now, the one and only Mr. Elton Welsby.
Thank you.
Well, that's another episode done, Jen.
It sure is.
Where we had Elton Welsby, the legend. We talked about the 1980s and we had that lyrics quiz.
After which I need a little lie down.
We didn't start the fire.
We didn't. We are not arsonists.
We didn't.
You've got it on tape now.
We're
not arsonists.
But we did do the pod quiz. The pod quiz?
Oh, pod quiz.
Oh.
definitely need to lie down.
So yeah, that was another episode of Fingers on Buzzers featuring the legendary Elton Wellesby. Genius that is Alan Connor, go and buy his book. We talked about the 1980s. Ooh. Oh God, I love going back to the 80s. If only we could actually just do that.
Soon. It's coming soon.
It is. And listener quiz, Steve Diaper.
Again.
Got me all confused. So I'm going to go for a lovely lie down. Thank you for listening to
Fingers on
Buzzers. I remembered that bit good. Bye.
Fingers on Buzzers starred Lucy Porter and Jenny Ryan and was produced by Amanda Redman with music by Kevin MacLeod and Justin Edwards. Email quiz at fingersonbuzzers.com and tweet at fingersbuzzers. Thanks for listening and don't forget to join us next time for more Fingers on Buzzers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.